Tim Versalotti is director of the Western New England University Poll, professor of political science. Hey, Tim, you're in your element. If there's one time that polls really flourish, this is it. So what are you looking at?
Well, I'll tell you, this is a time when polls flourish, but it's also a time when the folks who run the polls are holding their breath, their collective breath, that their methodologies are sound. We'll find out in about, a little over 2 weeks whether the polling in Iowa is on the mark or not.
So what are, I'm sorry for interrupting, Tim, but everybody wants to know, so I'll ask their question. So what are the big challenges? Cell phones? Young people?
A couple of things. Cell phones, of course, are a big challenge. One of the misconceptions is that pollsters don't call cell phones, and most reputable pollsters do these days, because almost half of the country doesn't have a landline anymore. The issue is people are not always willing to do surveys on cell phones. People buy cell phones and then move to other parts of the country, so there's some difficulty with getting a proper sample frame.
So in other words, California, Tim, you may have a California prefix, but you may be living in Manhattan by that time.
That's right. Some of us are rooted in habit. My cell phone has a North Carolina area code from when I was in grad school. I'm out of the sample frame for Massachusetts, and I'm not alone. Lots of folks are in that category, and so that provides a challenge. What provides even more of a challenge in the primary and caucus season is that you're trying to model who is going to show up to vote, and in part you're doing that based on past history, but the fields on both sides this year are distinctive, and past history may not be a good guide in terms of your likely voter models.
So if you get some kid on the phone, for want of a better word, young person, because kids historically don't show up, so you want to know whether they're going to go and vote. How do you get them to tell you?
That's right, and you're lacking a voter history there as well. If someone is fairly new and this is the first cycle. And so there are other measures you can put in the survey in terms of gauging interest in the campaign, knowledge of the campaign, knowledge of where your polling or caucus location is. That's often a very strong delineator between who will or will not show up. And you take all of that, you create some kind of score, some kind of probability, and make your best estimate there. But there are unknowns. There are things you may overlook.
So as it gets more complicated, your job is more complicated. For example, there's a big difference between primaries and the Iowa caucuses, which I still can't understand.
That's right. The caucus system is different in that it is a public declaration of your preference for the presidential nomination. So you're gathering at some public space, a school cafeteria, fire hall, public library. Sometimes it's even in people's homes if it's a sparsely populated community without a lot of public spaces. And so you're showing up. You are physically declaring your allegiance by moving to a part of the room or a table or somewhere where you're expressing your support for a candidate. That's very, very different, requires a lot more sense of certainty, sense of bravery, as opposed to casting a secret ballot, where the only thing that anyone else knows is that you're voting in either the Republican or the Democratic primary. So caucuses are very, very different.
And so long as we're talking to a superb pollster, and an intellectual pollster, by the way, for those of you who don't know Tim's work, then you really have to come up with educated guesses to some degree. And you have to look for potential biases. So, for example, the more complicated it gets, I would bet the more likely in something like that that Republicans, who tend to have a higher educational value sometimes because they go to college and this and that, these are biases on my part. But let's assume what I'm saying happens to be true. How do you control for that?
It's true. It's hard to speak to it from a polling standpoint, but from a candidate organizing standpoint, you have to engage in a lot of voter education, particularly if you're trying to recruit young people to support your candidate. You've got to explain not just where the caucus gathering is, the time of the meeting, but also just how it works and how your votes then factor into an eventual selection of local delegates and state delegates and then eventually delegates to the national convention. So there's a great deal of public education that has to occur, especially for first-time participants. And if your candidate is relying on first-time participants, and I'm thinking of Bernie Sanders here, you've got to invest quite a bit of money and expertise in educating those voters to make sure they understand the process.
So do you have more faith in what pollsters are telling us is going on in New Hampshire than what they're telling us is going on in this very complicated Iowa system?
That's a pretty reasonable statement, but I will also caution that New Hampshire can be unpredictable as well. And we only have to look back to the 2008 Democratic primary, where it looked like Barack Obama was going to have somewhat of a, not an easy victory, but the polling, the pre-primary polling showed a clear Obama advantage, and Hillary Clinton instead won the primary. And a very detailed and careful post-mortem by survey researchers found that they had missed some late shifts over the weekend prior to the Tuesday primary in New Hampshire. So even there, New Hampshire can do you some surprises.
So it's the Granite State, and I suppose somebody could make a bad joke about that. But then you have to say, all right, we've gone out, we've done our best. The polls look like this. Bernie Sanders is ahead of where he was, way ahead of where he was. Hillary Clinton is falling. How often are we surprised when the polls come out?
We're seeing surprises more and more frequently in the last couple of elections. 2015 was a tough year for survey researchers, not just in the United States, but abroad as well. Pre-election surveys in the United Kingdom, in Poland, in Israel did not fare well in terms of their accuracy. On the upside, the pre-election surveys were pretty good in Canada. In the United States, the pre-election surveys just completely misread the Kentucky governor's race, really underestimating the strength of the Republican candidate, who went on to win fairly easily. The polls redeemed themselves most recently in the Louisiana governor's race. But this has been a year where pollsters have been reflecting on how they do things and asking themselves, what do we need to change? Because pre-election estimates have not been as accurate as they've been in the past.
Now, Tim Bertolotti, let me just say that there are a lot of people call me up all the time and say, I'm from the so-and-so poll, which I've never heard of. And we have all these things, push polls, pull polls, people who are really phony pollsters basically working for candidates. So I hang up on all of them.
Well,
that's a question.
There are some basic pieces of information that anyone who gets a call should request before they proceed. And I say this as a member of the Transparency Initiative from the American Association for Public Opinion Research, which is the major professional organization for survey research. And members of that initiative agree to report and disclose during interviews and certainly after the fact who's sponsoring the survey, who's conducting the survey, the approximate length of the survey, and that individuals have the ability to opt out at any time. If you don't get that kind of basic information and it's not provided to you at the start of a call, I'd be very leery. I tend to do all surveys just because I work in this field and I understand the importance of good response rates, but I'm very skeptical if people won't provide that information up front.
Our guest has been the great Tim Bertolotti, director of the Western New England University Poll, professor of political science, and a guy who really knows how to, well, for want of a better word, put it across, tell the truth. Thank you so much, Tim, for being with us. You're a great professor, and I appreciate your work.
Oh, thank you, Alan.